So tonight I'd like to just take a few moments to kind of kick us off with some reflections on what brings us here and kind of navigating the retreat. I think every human being has a deep yearning, kamiha, a deep yearning for direction in life, for meaning, and sometimes a deep yearning to stop. And where am I? And what's going on in this life? And who am I? And it's a narrative that's under with us all the time. And what tends to happen is that we look for answers in the past. I was, my childhood, I was like this, this happened to me, this works for me, this doesn't work for me, and it's all point of view of what was. Or we tend to go to the point of view of what will be. I would like it to be like that. If that happens, then im as, if that that should happen, then I'll be okay, and or we will be okay. Or we look to the future, look to the past, and there's quite a lot of anxiety in that. And we don't necessarily get the answers that we want. And we don't necessarily get a direction. Where are we going? My story. How important is it? My story. Just reminds me one time of one of the meetings, dialogue groups that we were doing in the Palestinian areas with Israelis and Palestinians together in dialogue. And there was a discussion about history, which is really a hard one. I mean, better we don't go there. But anyway, the Palestinians were saying, well, my history tells me this. And the Israelis were saying, yes, but my history books tell me something completely different. And so one Palestinian professional university teacher got up and said, history doesn't exist. Only the now. Now is the history. Now it's happening. Now we're together. But I never forgot that story. And so we really need to understand that now is the time when actually we can stop and look at our life and find our directions. So we can only stop now. We can't stop somewhere else or some other place. We are here. We live in this moment. We don't live any other time. And in this moment of the now, as I said before, we can find a home. We can find that we are alive now, and this is my experience now. We tend to think life will be better then, except all the problems. The Dharma would say all the problems are the life. Now look at them in the now and look at them differently. So we need to sense that we're held by life in the kind of arms of existence, and let go a little bit of the sense that we've always got to find an answer somewhere else, some other people, some other, if I read enough books on Buddhism I'll be fine, if I do this, again, if is all about the future, if, then. There's a quote here which is very Taoist that talks about this. We always hope someone else has the answer, and some other place will be better, and some other time it will all turn out okay. But this is it. No one else has the answer. No other place will be better. And it's already all turned out just the way it is. So at the center of your being, you have the answer. You know who you are. And you know what you want. And there is no need to run outside to see things better, nor to peep out of a window. Just stay at the center of your being. So we tend to forget that, and we tend to look out there. We forget that we're at home because we're so busy looking out of the window. And we forget that we're actually looking, we're in the house, but we don't notice because we're looking out there. And we just don't notice that we're already there. We're already at home. We forgot where to look. We forgot to look. So the first thing to look at is the yearning, is the longing, is the quest, chipus. Because that's real for us. And that's a power, and that's a friend, not an enemy. Our need to try and get things better, if we look at that carefully as it is in the now, that's a friend of ours. We're already kind of joining ourselves more authentic place, rather than expecting something to fill the hole that we feel. If you ask how to deal with habits, addictions, watch the hole, ma shechaser, watch what's missing in us, and we're already filling it. If we really are a friend with the sense of chaseli, we're already filling it, we're already connecting with it, we're already back home again, even if it's not so pleasant. So let the yearning, and it's kind of important for us in the retreat here, let this yearning, this kmiha, talk to us. Let it work in us. It's our power. It's our friend, not our enemy. It's our guide. It's a voice of truth. In the Tibetan image, it's the womb. It's the rechem. Our longing is the womb. The Tibetan word garb. The womb from which insight arises, from which we can be reborn. One of my favorite books actually is a Sufi text called The Conference of the Birds. It's just an amazing, amazing book, written in the 13th century. Fat book of Sufi poetry, but it's about 30 birds. No, it's 100 birds, sorry, 100 birds, that they go off on a journey to find the answer, to find God, to find their freedom. And they go on a very, very hard journey. And the whole book is about each one, each bird has a character. And their character and their personality is their problem. They, you know, the eagle, his problem is the nesha is that's his problem. And the little sparrow draw, that one's problem. I'm nothing, I'm just ordinary, I'll not get there. every bird has a character and a problem, and it's the poetry, the Sufi poetry, is about how each one of them deals with the problem. One of the nicest stories in there, and it's full of stories, one of the nicest stories there is a Sufi story about Yosef. And Yosef, in the Sufi tradition, is the pure soul, because he's beautiful. So Yosef is the image of the pure soul. But the problem is, he's always sold in the marketplace as a slave, as Eved, just like we do with our pure soul. We take our pure soul and sell it, whatever, to Microsoft or to our business or to our work or to our, you know, we sell it for whatever we want. So Yosef was there as a slave, and there was a whole queue of people wanting to buy him because he was so beautiful. And in this queue was an old lady. And everyone came with a big bag of gold to the seller. I want to buy Yosef for this 10,000 gold coins. It came to the old lady, and the seller said, "What have you got? You don't look like you've got, you're poor old lady, you don't have any gold." And she said, "No, I have two red threads, Shnei Chutim Adumim. That's all I have." So the guy said, "Well, you can't buy Yosef with these two red threads. Everyone's bringing a bag of gold." She said, "I know that, but I want it to be known that I bid for Yosef with my two red threads." And it's so beautiful to me. I want it to be known. In other words, I want it to be clear. That's what I can give. Here's my two red threads. We can do that. It's a message for us, actually. What we can give is what we can give. But it should be known to us. Anyway, of course, it has a very Sufi Buddhist ending. They find there, the 30 birds that are left, find God called Simurgh, which means 30 in ancient Persian, apparently. They get there after terrible, terrible difficulties. They get there, they go in, it's an empty room. And inside the room is one thing, a mirror. And they see themselves. They got there. So, we come with the yearning, we give our two red threads, we give our commitment, whatever it is, we acknowledge to ourselves, here I am, this is my commitment. Your commitment can be this retreat. You don't have to be, to go to this retreat, be a Buddhist for the rest of your life. Nobody's asking you to sign anything. But maybe your two red threads is just, I will be here fully in the practice of this weekend. This is what I can do. This is my red thread. So as we move into the retreat, we can understand that this is not a usual kind of instant package. We're talking about something very deep, very wide, very ancient, very subtle. So you may say, well, I'm not ready for that. But I just want to give you a few examples of ways in which you could feel really okay coming into this retreat as you are. The first of these balances that I want to talk about briefly is that many of you would want, if it's your first retreat, a very clear structure of what to do, how to practice. And it's there. There is. It's step by step, there is, you will find it here. The instructions will give you this. But some of you will say, look, I'm not actually so interested in step by step. This is not school. I left school a long time ago. I want something a bit more open, existential. You'll find that as well. Depends who the teacher is. For me, you'll get more playfulness. It's just the way I am. It's the kind of blessing of age. I can be a child as well. But there is a kind of dynamic here which is good to know about. There is a structure, step by step, how to climb the mountain. Here is the path. Here is Avnei Derech. But there is also the sense of what's the flowers next to the path. What's the stone that I can see that's right next to this path? No structure. It's also there. And the thing isn't not to get too stuck and to be allowing structure and non-structure, to see this is actually more true to this, but this is not a university, this is not school, but yet it's not a sort of new age, ultimate, cloudy, just feel good kind of cloud, so everything's great. It is, everything's great, but there's still a mountain to climb. So this is one of the fine lines that we can play with. So don't worry too much if, you know, you have, each one of us has a tendency. Each one of us has a face, like a spiritual face and a physical, you have a physical face. We have DNA, and what's our spiritual DNA? What's the DNA of our soul? So we can listen to that and say, I need a bit more structure, that's what I'm going there, and you'll find it. And others will say, I need a bit more openness, more space, and we'll find that as well. And you don't need to worry too much about, oh, I should have more structure. I'm not following exactly. I'm not getting that experience or that experience. Just feel that there's a subtle place here, and which is really helpful because we're in a spiritual, basically spiritual, I don't like the word, but it's kind of not just another cheder kosher. Okay, it's bigger than that. Another sort of place that we can understand deeper is this place that we come very often with something that we want to fix, that we want to change in our life. And it's fine, it's okay. But we can also get too stuck with that. And then a little bit we miss some other things that are not there. We may come wanting more calm. I think everybody, if I asked everyone here, what's one thing you want to practice and learn and come out of this retreat with, probably everybody will say, just more calm. I want to be more calm and quiet. It's too much noise in the world and in my head. So calmness is something we say we want to develop, and we want to fix the non-calm. I want more of this. I want to develop that. All that is fine. Hopefully it will happen here, or it will happen in your life in this retreat or another. But there's also the other side, which is there's nothing to be fixed. Because what's to be fixed? There's existence. That's it. They look like very far apart. They're not. They're actually just a dialogue in us. And we can be there and just be okay with that. We feel something needs to be fixed. And yet we also can feel we're absolutely okay as we are. And the two are not fighting. They're both there in us as voices that we can have dialogue with the old Indian phrase, real happiness comes when we don't want, we don't need to be happy. So it's a challenge if we want to fix something. But it's also true. This breath is enough. This moment is enough. What's wrong? Another of the fine lines that I want to mention is the story of effort, which is quite important. And there is, again, the middle way, which is one of the ways that we describe the Buddha's teaching. And the Buddha described it about himself. Someone said, what kind of effort do you need to cross to the other side of the flood, Amabul, the other side of the river of life, struggle? And the Buddha said, well, I got to the other side by not fighting and or struggling or striving and not stopping. So the person asking him said, what does that mean? The Buddha said, well, when I struggled, I got swept away. And when I stopped, I got drowned. So neither stopping nor striving, khatira, between the two works. So we can help, it can be helpful for us at the beginning of the retreat to feel that. It's sometimes, you know, you see birds, sometimes a bird is just flying on the wind and letting the wind carry the bird. And all the, and then all of a sudden the bird has to go like this. We like that. At times we need to flap our wings, at times we can just, the wind will take us. No effort. And just realize we're in a dynamic here. This is a developed place. This is not Kita Aleph that we have to do, you know, like I say, 1, 2, 3, 4. Too much effort implies resistance. Too little effort implies passivity and just getting drowned, getting lost. Between the two. A lot of our practice, we can find ourselves between things like that, and it's fine. And it's where we learn wisdom. The kind of wisdom that we learn from understanding effort in this retreat, for example, when we next have to write a long paper for our university studies, it will help us there. When we need to do something difficult in our life, it will help us there. Understanding these fine lines, the middle way. So the whole thing is based on two qualities, and one I put first, kindness. We need to be kind to ourselves, especially in these days where there is so much unkindness around everywhere. We need to be in another place, which is kindness. And it's quite precious. So as we practice, as we look at ourselves, as we as we are a community here, going on a journey together like the birds on their way to Simorgh, just feel that sense of kindness, which is so missing in the world outside. And the second thing, of course, is awareness. Itpakhut is a good word, or erut, which is the title of my book. They're good words in Hebrew, I think, that give something about the essence of what it means to be aware, mindful, awake, alert, So the two together are our main tools, and then some of the fine middle way dialogue that I mentioned, these different aspects, can be the way we navigate. Our fundamental tools are those two, kindness and opening our eyes, our inner eyes, and meeting ourselves as we are. Okay, let's just take a moment to just to reflect on that, to